Well, amen. Take your Bibles and follow me to the book of John, chapter number 11 this morning. John chapter number 11. Excited to be preaching. I've just enjoyed it so much, studying it, preaching through it, and learning from it. And it's been an encouragement to me. It's been a help. Just so much good stuff here in the book of John. And we've come through the first 10 chapters. We're now just nigh the cross. We might say it like that. We're getting really close to that last week of the Lord's life, and he's kind of surrounded, if you just want to think of it this way, he's kind of surrounded by his enemies, you know, and he's having to almost take, and not almost, he's having to go away to different places, like in verse number 40 of chapter number 10, he's going away so that he can get a respite from his enemies. And so it's right here, we're right before the cross, and the Lord is still you know, it's one of these things I'm trying to keep in my mind as we go through John. He is heading to the cross. The Lord's ministry from day one, when he was born in that manger, his goal was to head to the cross. He was born that he one day would die. But along the way, he's trying to make disciples. Along the way, he's calling out his church. Along the way, he's pleading to individuals to believe in him. And as we read through the book of John, the series is titled That You Might Believe, and it's titled that because we get it right out of what John says in John 20. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And it seems like every chapter, every encounter, every conversation, because John is this book of Jesus, is not just what he's doing, but what he's saying, and we see these different conversations he's having with people. Every single one of them, the emphasis is that we might believe. And I want you to notice something here in the story today. In John 10, and I promise you I'll read it and then I'll start preaching. I just got to warm up a little bit, all right? I'll just get the shoulders loose or whatever. That's all I'm doing right now, okay? In John chapter 10, he's dealing with his enemies. He's saying, you need to believe and you don't. And remember, he's talking about the sheepfold. There are some that are my sheep. They believe me. They follow me, they know my voice, and he says, ye are not my sheep. He's talking to this group of unbelievers. And then after John 11, actually toward the end of John 11, those unbelievers show back up again. But in this story we're reading today, I want you to hear this. He's talking to people who believe, for the most part. There's always some people around that don't, and we'll see today that because of what happened here, there's questions that arise, but every now and then you look at a believer struggling with belief, and I'm not talking about salvation. We'll get there. I just want you to know the crowd the Lord's ministering to is he's dealing with people I believe were Christians. They had already put their faith in him. We're talking about the disciples, the 12. You know, one was a traitor, but the 12. We're talking about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We're talking about friends of Jesus, believers. And I want you to notice as I read this, I want you to notice twice in the passage, Jesus says this, I'm doing this that you will believe. And you got to get this, he's talking to Martha, who already is saved. He's talking to the disciples who have already left all to follow him. And he says, you know, everyone asks the question, why did he let Lazarus die? You know the answer? Because there were still some who didn't believe. I know they had trusted Christ as their Savior, but their faith was not fully put in him for their life and their living. And so we're going to deal with that this morning. John 11, if you found that, if you'll stand with me, and we're going to read, I know it's a lot of verses, but it's a good story. You won't even know you're standing. We stand just for the honor of God's word, and I'll just read through it. I'll let you be seated before I make any comments. So just listen to the words of the scripture and pay attention to a couple things. Pay attention to Jesus' emphasis on faith, that he wants these people to believe, and then pay attention to the emotion in the scene. Okay? Hopelessness, faithlessness, sorrow, fear. That's what's swirling around in the crowd. And Jesus is trying to teach them about faith. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto him, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Just let him rest, Lord. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest, of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in a place, that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and followed out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Lord, I want to ask for your help this morning. And I believe that we in this room, myself included, struggle with the very same thing that Mary and Martha and the disciples were struggling with that day. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to see ourselves as we look into this mirror before us. I pray you'd give me the words to say and that your Spirit would lead and guide in every thought, every word. Lord, that you would clearly speak what you would have us to hear today. Help our hearts to be open, our minds to be ready to receive whatever it is you speak. Lord, if there are any here that don't know you as Savior, Lord, we pray that they'd trust you today before it's eternally too late, that they could have that truth that we spoke of in the chapter, that if we believe in you, we'll never die. But then, Lord, my thought today is to the weary Christian, the one who's trusted you for salvation, but has got difficulties on the horizon. We pray for them today. We pray you'd encourage, help us, and strengthen our faith, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this conversation that Jesus is having with Mary, he's again focusing on what John is writing about, that they would believe. And Jesus makes a declaration unto Mary here in the passage. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asks this question, believest thou this? Believest thou this? Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe what I'm saying? And Martha, she says that she believes. And I believe that she believes in who Jesus is. I believe that she's been saved. But then later in the same passage, the Lord takes time before he calls Lazarus alive from the grave. He takes time to pray and he prays out loud. And he even says, I don't have to pray this out loud, but I'm praying this out loud so that they'll hear the prayer because they still need to believe. In verses 3 and 4, the Lord hears that Lazarus is sick. Now, it's Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. You know, he already knows Lazarus' condition. He knows how many hairs are on Lazarus' head over there. But they come and they tell him, Lazarus, your friend, he's sick. He's sick. You would think, okay, if Jesus already knew, why didn't he just go and perform the miracle of healing before they ever told him? The story is a little curious. It kind of raises some questions. Why did Jesus not just, why did he wait for the messengers to come tell him? Because you know he already knew. But then it gets a little bit even more confusing when they've told him, and we know that he's about 25 miles away, so he's not that far of a journey away. I mean, a long day's walk or maybe two, and he can get there. But after he hears the message, the Bible says he abides still for two more days. And sometime, if you kind of study the timeline, sometime when those messengers were either on their way to Jesus or just when they had left, we're not really sure, but sometime in that time, Lazarus passed away, and the Lord knows that he passed away, and no messenger came and told him that he passed away. The messengers had come and gone, and the Lord looks at the disciples and says, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus waits 2 days, two more days. It took the messengers, he waited for the messengers to get all the way back and tell them, we told Jesus. Just imagine, they get back and Mary and Martha are there, Lazarus is dead by this point, and the messengers get back and we told Jesus, how's Lazarus? Well, it's too late. He didn't make it. Well, we told the Lord, is the Lord coming? Well, he didn't look to be in a hurry. In fact, I think I recall him saying that he was going to stick around for a couple of days. You see, his response to the situation isn't what we would expect. Let me say this too. When we pray to God and we're asking Him for something, His response is not always what we expect. I mean, our expectation is the Lord would have, first of all, just knowing that Lazarus was sick, would have just made his way up there and healed him before it ever became a thing. But he had gotten so sick that they said, you better send messengers to Jesus. We don't think he's going to make it. And then in the process, even after hearing those messengers, he says, it's fine. We're going to stay here, disciples, for a couple more days. And the whole point, the whole reason was because he's not worried about Lazarus. I don't know if you noticed this, but it wasn't a lot of hard work for Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. The Lord just says, okay, it's time. He looks up. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. See, he's God. So that it wasn't a chore for him. It wasn't difficult for him. It wasn't impossible for him. It was just a couple of words that would call Lazarus from the grave to walk out of that tomb in his grave clothes. So he wasn't worried about Lazarus. The reason he waited is because he was worried. And I say that Jesus, I don't believe worried, but his concern was for his disciples. They were lacking in their belief. So the Lord waited until everyone there knew in their minds all hope was lost. Jewish culture says the spirit lingers around for 3 days. After someone dies, so the Lord made sure to wait an extra day. So that there'd just be no possibility that if something were to happen with Lazarus, it would be anything but a work of God. And as we read the story, we don't see a group of disciples that are full of faith. In fact, they're full of fear. Guys, Lazarus is sick. We're going to go over there so we can wake him. Wait, you're going to go where? You're going to go back up to near Jerusalem? We just left there, Lord, and they said they were going to kill you. If he's sleeping, Lord, maybe just let him sleep. You see, it's self-preservation. They're fearful. We don't want to go. We're going to go back to where these enemies are. They're going to kill us all. In fact, Thomas, he finally just says, well, let's all go die with him. See, the disciples aren't saying, oh, well, let's go so we can see God do a great work and a great miracle. Let's get behind Jesus because the safest place to be is in the will of God. That's not the disciples today. The disciples are saying, Lord, it sure seems safer here. If he's asleep, let the man sleep. We don't have to go up there and bother him. There's people trying to throw stones at us up there. The Lord says he's dead. Well, why go? Why go if he's dead? Just to put ourselves in danger because to visit the grave? Thomas finally said, well, let's just all go. We'll just all go die with him. You see, it's not that we always picture the disciples as just full of faith and following God and just fearless. But I'm telling you, they were just like us. They struggled with doubt. They struggled with fear. They struggled with hopelessness. The whole story, there's just a looming cloud of sorrow over the whole story. And so we can single out Martha because surely that's who Jesus is speaking to. But you notice Mary, the one that we usually credit to be the more spiritual between Mary and Martha, she comes to the Lord, she says the very same thing, Lord, if thou hadst been here, he wouldn't be dead. And you know what she's saying? Well, now there's nothing you can do. That's what he's saying. That's what she's saying. Let's just understand. She's saying this, Lord, you're too late. If you would have been here a couple days ago, maybe, well, 4 days ago, maybe there would have been something you could do, but you weren't here. And so now there's nothing that can be done but mourn. And so the Lord is dealing with Mary. He's dealing with Martha. He's dealing with the disciples. There's hopelessness in the air. There's sorrow. We have the famous verse, Jesus wept. And we could talk about why he wept. And there's all these different speculations. Oh, well, he's He's weeping. I've heard this. He's weeping because he knows he's about to take Lazarus out of heaven and make him live on earth again. And boy, that would be kind of unfortunate. Could you imagine just getting to heaven? There's no politics. There's no, like, everything's perfect. And then the Lord's like, don't get too comfortable, because I got to send you back. I mean, there would be a moment. I know when we lose a loved one, I'm telling you, it hurts here. On this earth, man, it hurts. The separation, it hurts. But you just need to understand, they're not hurting there. You said, they don't miss me? No, they have the understanding, you're just coming right behind them. So for Lazarus to have to go, and I don't know how much he saw. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us his experience for those 4 days. I have no idea, but it just seems like it'd be a little bit of a bummer for God to say, you know, just don't get too comfortable. You're going to go, and by the way, you're going to have to die again. Have you ever thought about that? In the next chapter, the Jews want to kill Lazarus because they're like, well, he rose him from the dead. We got to get rid of this guy, and they're going to kill the guy. I'm going, you can't just keep killing him. The Lord will just keep raising him back. I mean, I just think about Lazarus. I'm going, man, he's the one I feel the most sorry for in the whole thing. You got to go back, and then he's got to die again. I don't know if that's why Jesus wept. I know this. God never intended for us to know the consequences of sin. He never intended us to know what sorrow felt like. He never intended us to know what heartbreak was all about. He never intended us to know and experience physical death. He didn't create us that way. Those are all devastating results of our sin. And he's wading through it. He's wading through the results of sin, the sorrow and the devastation and the hopelessness and all that. He's wading through it. And the scripture says that we don't have an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So the next verse says, we can therefore boldly go in and pray to the Lord, because he understands, he knows how we feel, because he's felt it himself. This is one of those experiences where he's walking through and he's noticing the sorrow, and he's sorrowing with them, and he weeps because he's taking in the effect of the sin. He knows the fear of the disciples. He knows the hopelessness that Mary and Martha both have in their heart. He knows the sorrow of the Jews that are standing around. He knows the doubt that lingers in everyone's heart. Is he who he said? Oh, it's in the passage. Look at verse 15. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye might believe. Jesus, looking at his followers, is saying, you have a belief problem. Verse 26, he straight up asked Martha, believest thou this? Now she says she believed, but something just didn't quite, she wasn't putting together the dots that Jesus was forming. Verse 39, when he says, take away the stone, Lord, do you not understand something here? Just think about this conversation. She just said that he's the Son of God. She just declared, I believe that you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. She just declared that. In the chapters coming up to this, Jesus has over and over and over again said, I and the Father am one. He's declared himself to be God. His followers know it. So here's what she's saying. God, do you not know what happened in that grave? Do you not understand that he's been in there for 4 days and you can't open you can't move the stone because he stinks, he's deteriorating. God, do you not know what's going on? Is that not what she's saying? And he says again, didn't I tell you if you would believe? And so with some convincing, they move the stone. So I want to look at a couple of things here about this conversation. And I believe it is a conversation with Martha, but I'm telling you, it's all the disciples in the chapter. and it's you and I at times. She was a believer. First of all, she believed in who Jesus was. He was the Messiah. He was Jesus Christ. He was the great I Am. Verse 25 through 27, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 27, she says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Jesus gives her one of his famous I am statements. We've already heard several of these. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That one's coming, by the way. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the living water. He said this in chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. He's established himself as the ever-present, almighty, infinite God that always has been, that was and is to come. And he's told them time and time again that him and his Father are one. He is, in fact, the great I Am. He's equated his name to the I Am that we see in Exodus, Jehovah God, and everyone there knew all of his claims. And she said, I believe that. I believe that you're all powerful. I believe that you're all sufficient, all knowing, eternally existent. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you're the Messiah. That should come. When we preach Jesus today, you realize we're not preaching the Jesus that the world proclaims. We're not preaching the Jesus that's okay with everyone's sin. Because Jesus is not okay with anyone's sin. You say he ate with publicans and sinners. He did, and he changed them. When he left, they were different. When he left, they were saved by the grace of God. They were forgiven. He doesn't come down and console us in our sin and leave us there. That's not the Jesus we preach. The Jesus we preach is the great I Am. He's the one who in the beginning spoke and the worlds were created. He's the one that divided the land and the sea, and he made the plants to grow, and he set the sun where it was supposed to go, and he put the moon in its orbit and all the planets. And as you look out into the solar system and you see millions and millions and millions of planets and stars, and we understand that what we see isn't even the half of it, the Jesus I preach is the one that holds all of that in the palm of his hand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's Jesus. The Jesus I preach is the one that came and had to bear the mark of sin on the cross of Calvary because of our sins. If he didn't care about our sin, he sure wouldn't have gone and died for them. But no, I'm preaching the Jesus that went and submitted himself to sinful man, was given a mock trial, was beaten, was led to the cross where they crucified him, and above him was a sign hanging saying, this is the King of the Jews. The Jesus that looked down from the cross and saw the sinners that had just driven the nails in his hands and said, Father, forgive them. This is the Jesus that we preach. And it was my sin and it was your sin that put him on that cross. I believe Martha believed in that Jesus. I believe she was saved. I believe she knew him that way. Let me tell you today, if you want what Jesus is offering, that eternal life, because there's a question here, okay, so do we die or not? Yes. Does that clear it up? The body dies. Sin has brought the curse of sin, which is death, Genesis 3. And so the body is deteriorating. Some of you a little older than others. Some of us are a little older than others. We know the check engine light eventually comes on. The body is deteriorating. But here's what I know about how God created us. The soul lives forever. You're an eternal being. And he says, if you want eternal life, I'm talking about life forevermore, because the choice really, and I said it last week, it's not about whether you live or die, it's where you're going to live. Right. Yes. It's really this, eternal life or eternal death. Eternal life or eternal damnation. But either one of them, it's eternal. And Jesus says, if you want this eternal life, it's because it'll be because you believe in me. Martha, do you believe it? I think she did. According to the passage, I mean, she declared, if that's not a salvation testimony in verse 27, I don't know what is. I mean, that's what it is. That's a confession of heart. She believed in who Jesus was. She believed in the resurrection. Let me say before we move on, do you believe in who Jesus is? Can you say amen? If you believe in who he is, just say amen. Okay, good. The next thing is she believed in the resurrection. The Lord said, your brother's going to live again. Now, he was talking about like in 3 minutes. Okay, but she was thinking like, oh yeah, Lord, I know. I know in the resurrection, he'll live again. Of course, she wasn't being however I'm being right now. She wasn't being that way. She was sorrowful. She said, Lord, I know I'll see him again. Think it's as if the Lord's comforting her at the funeral. You know, you'll see him again. And it's true. It's absolutely true. There will be a resurrection. The body dies, but guess what? Those that have trusted Christ, they get a new body. Like resurrected. He brings us back. We could take the time to look at it. We could go to all the passages. We could look at Revelation 20 and see how God eventually calls all mankind up for a resurrection. We could look at 1 Thessalonians 4, how God calls his believers up for a special resurrection in rapture where he gives a new body and he makes us like him and he purifies us. Yes, there's a resurrection coming. It's not that we'll stay in the grave for all of eternity. No, we will live with the Lord in heaven because there's a resurrection coming. And she affirms, I believe in that. I believe I'll see Lazarus again. Jesus not only died for us, I put a note in here, the reason we can believe in the resurrection is because Jesus first revived. Here in just a few months, we'll be celebrating Easter, and as a Christian, you ought to celebrate Easter every single day. The fact that you woke up and had breath in your lungs this morning and could go on in your Christian walk is because Jesus is alive today. And he rose from the dead. He conquered the grave by his own power. He's the first fruits of them that slept, the Bible says. And so just as Jesus was raised to life by his own power, and just as Jesus raised Lazarus to life in John chapter 11, one day he will raise us all to life as well. In our text here, it says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe Martha believed that. But Martha was missing something here. And let's don't be too hard on her. Everyone was missing something there that day. None of them got it. That's why. You know, I almost think as Lazarus came back, he should have said, see, God, if y'all would have just believed, I never would have had to go through that. Because the whole purpose, the whole reason the Lord let him die was so that they could see and believe. I believe Martha knew who Jesus was. I believe that she knew there was a resurrection coming. We could say this. She was a believer. And she believed what the Bible said about the things that are going to happen. But notice what Jesus tells her. And this is what I think just flew over her head in verse number 25. Jesus did not say, one day he'll revive. He said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Present tense. Jesus is the resurrection. He is life. Jesus by who he is, his nature and his fullness of God that he is, he gives life to dead things. He is the resurrection and the life. I have a little, this, don't get carried away about what this is. This is a case for a shofar, which is a Jewish trumpet. But it's the only thing I could find in my office that was kind of long and skinny. That's all I needed. So it's not that we're going to talk about shofars or cases or anything like that. I just need this for a little illustration. See, this morning, I think that we have people in here who know who Jesus is. You know that he's God in the flesh. You know that he was born of a virgin. You know that he's the Messiah. He fulfilled all the messianic prophecies. You know that he lived a perfect life. He never once sinned. You know that in that life he healed and he raised other people to life. All the miracles that you did, you know that about him. You know that he went to the cross. You know that that cross was a substitutionary death for your sin. I hope that you know that. You know that he then 3 days later rose from the dead. You believe this, that in the Bible it talks about there's a heaven coming, there's a resurrection coming, there's eternal life, there's all these future promises, and as a church, a family, and listen, I'm just talking to church family, there may be someone here that doesn't know Jesus yet. I don't want you to turn it off. We'll talk about you in just a second. But our church family here, I'm telling you this, we believe in who Jesus is, and we believe what the Bible says, and we know that there's a resurrection coming, and we put all our hope and all our, we kind of put all our eggs in the basket that, you know, in eternity, God's got it all under control. But Martha said, that's all good, but today, Lord, you're too late. I mean, let that soak down. Just let that sink in for a second. I understand you're going to be with me for all eternity in heaven, that you're going to keep me from hell because of my belief in you. I know you're going to die a sacrificial death and raise yourself from the dead, but today, Lord, you're 4 days too late. If you'd been here, maybe, but now, no. See, what we do, folks, is we believe God up until a certain point. Every one of us in here, at some point, we draw a line in the sand. And we believe the Lord. And we say, oh yeah, I believe the Lord. And then something happens in our life, and we say, well, if he would have done that yesterday, if he would have just answered the prayers I prayed last week. It's so funny how us as believers can trust him with eternity. We don't often trust him with tomorrow. We don't often trust him with our problems today. And he says, no, I am the resurrection. Martha, you're looking at the answer. It doesn't matter that Lazarus is dead. I'm greater than death. It doesn't matter that he's been in the grave 4 days. If I want, I can turn back time. I mean, I'm God in the flesh. I can do anything. But she had drawn a line. Lord, if thou hadst been here. The disciples were all standing firmly right up against the same line. So was Mary. So were the Jews that were watching. And I'm telling you today, you have a line somewhere. And you believe God up to a point. But Lord, you just can't help me out of this financial crisis. I mean, I've been praying. Maybe if you had answered a month ago or a year ago, Lord, you can't help me with this relationship. You can't help me with this, I mean, just fill in the blank. And the Lord said, move the stone. And they said, but Lord, it's like way too late. And he goes, no, move the stone. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, I can't emphasize how easy it was for him. Why would he put everyone through? Because they were still on the other side. And what he was doing was he was putting them through something so that they could get on this side where really in God's mind there is no line. He's God. I'm just telling you, as a pastor, there's been days, I mean, I'm preaching eternal truth, salvation. I mean, I'm preaching all that stuff, and it's all true. I believe it. But then Monday afternoon, I'm struggling in my faith, something at work, something at home, something with money, something with physical problems, whatever. And it's like God has to say, wait, where did you draw the line? I don't remember drawing a line. Move the stone. Listen, you'll never hear me preach that God's a genie in a bottle. He's sovereign in his will. But there's nothing he can't do. There's whole towns that Jesus visited and left, and it said he did not any mighty works there, not because he couldn't do them, but because of their unbelief. They said, he can't do that. I think about these same disciples later, and I know they were empowered. I mean, so many good things happened. Peter, this total revolution happens in his life, and the disciples really become heroes of the faith in those chapters. But there's a time when all the disciples, the followers of Christ, they're gathered up and they're praying for Peter's release. You remember this story? Peter's in jail. And Peter has this awesome experience. He's sitting there in jail. These angels show up. They start unlocking the gates and the chains. And Peter thinks he's dreaming. God answered our prayer. They thought she was crazy. They didn't. Here's what they said in their mind. Well, we're praying for Peter, but it's too late. He's a goner. Peter's a goner. Let me ask you a question. Why were they praying? If they didn't believe it was possible, why go up to the church, gather around, and waste your time if God can't do it? Why do you pray? Do you believe he can do it? I believe we serve a God who can do anything. He's not out of the miracle business. He can do anything. The problem is we stand on this side of the line and say, Lord, well, I'm gonna pray, but I know it's too late. And I think God's waiting on Christians to step over the line and understand who it is we're praying to and what it is he can do. Because just like he did that day, Lazarus, come on. I wish I could have been there. I really do. I wish I could have been there that day. But can I tell you, I haven't seen him rise someone from the dead, but I've seen him do miracles. I've seen him step over my line and answer a prayer, and I've been shocked that he did. So where's your line? I know you believe in him. I know you believe in eternity, but do you believe he's God tomorrow? Tuesday? Do you believe he can answer the prayers you're praying? Or are you standing behind some line of unbelief? Father, we pray this morning that you would just work with us in this time of invitation.